Hey, family, friends, and partners. I want to thank you for tuning in to Breaking Bread. I'm your host, Dr. Weech. As usual, we have a powerful teaching, and we'll just ask you to call someone and let them know we're on. We'll be right back. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith. Family matters. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith. Family matters. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread. Breaking Bread with Dr. Weech. Faith, family matters. You're tuned in to Breaking Bread with your host and moderator, Dr. Weech. Let's go now to our study. Well, once again, family, we have a wonderful teacher for you today. Today, we're talking about prayer. In this particular study, I believe people who may not be familiar with prayer may be intimidated by prayer, but I want you to consider prayer is nothing more than communication with the great I am. In fact, prayer should be considered a wonderful thing once you put it into the right perspective, because prayer is you're literally talking to your Father through your big brother and mentor, the only begotten Son, King and Savior, Jesus Yeshua, our Lord. So I want you to take a look, listen to this teaching, understand the concepts and the applications of prayer, because once you appreciate and understand the importance of prayer and the benefits of prayer, I do believe you'll spend more time in prayer. Want to thank our group for participating with us as we film these studies live. And once again, I always encourage you, if you have a question through the midst of the teaching, you can text in your comments or questions at 321-345-WGGF. That's 321-345-9443. We're going into the teaching, and I'll be right back after the end of the teaching. Enjoy.
All right, we are going to begin with our Bible study. and while you have a Bible, you can look to Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about prayer. Excuse me. So we could talk about, you could look to Luke chapter 1. And while you're there, I'm going to pray. And kind Father, thank you for allowing us to come together to discuss your word. Open our hearts and our minds as we begin to study how we should pray. And you've commanded us to do so. So give us proper clarity and understanding so that we can do it in a manner that pleases you. And our prayers are heard. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. if you need a Bible, there's some right there. Some should be on the table. We're going to talk about prayer. And if you look to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, the Lord is talking to his disciples, and he says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So we see, number one, Jesus, also called Yeshua, prayed himself. And you see his disciples that say, hey, well, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. Now, number one, we intimidated with prayer. You know, some people say how to pray, but basically prayer is just communicating or talking with God. And if we get to that place where we can just learn to be real with God and tell God what's on our heart, he can deal with the issues of the heart. So we shouldn't be intimidated with talking to God or praying. But the one thing we need to understand is that the Lord has encouraged us to pray. Now, when his disciples asked to teach them to pray, apparently there is a wrong way. Because the disciples say, well, teach us how to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, you may not do it or make an effort to do it. So when we look at this, we see in the remaining verses of when he says, when you pray, say, Father. So he goes into this Lord's Prayer, what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Now, they've changed this to say, well, it's not the Lord's Prayer, but it's like the model prayer, because the Lord's Prayer was in John, in the book of John, when he began to pray. So let's look at Matthew, and we can really take a good look at what this particular prayer says. We look at Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Yes. Yes, prayer is communicating with God. Yes, talking. It's just talking with God. Because, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know how to pray. But there's no real formula, per se. The one thing God wants you to do is to be real with him. If you have issues, if you having problems, if you're even angry with God, the best thing to do is say, God in heaven, I'm angry for this particular reason. God wants you to be real so he can deal with the issues dealing with the heart. That's basically, I believe that is the real formula. Not to go before God and the situation isn't what it is. Because if we believe he's God, Elohim, the creator of everything, and he knows all things, it doesn't do us any good to not be real with him, right? We should be real. If he knows the truth, he knows us, because the Bible says he knows the very hairs, the numbers on our head. So if he knows this much about us, then he should know the issues on our heart. But what he wants us to do is he wants us to communicate those things with him. You know, I tell people, hey, if you're angry with God, say, God, I'm angry because of this right here. You allow this to happen or whatever it is. Be real with God so he can deal with the issues pertaining to the heart. That way you can get resolve and healing. So nothing interrupts you from getting a deeper or closer understanding with the Father. All right. Anybody can pray to God. And we're going to realize the format that the Lord gave, Jesus, Yeshua gave. We will see the importance of knowing who you are when you talk to God. You see what I'm saying? So when we look at Matthew chapter 6, look what it says. He says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. Do you see that? When you see that? So number one, he's expecting us to pray, because he's saying, when you do it, right? That's like, hey, when you go into the kitchen, bring. You're going in the kitchen sometime soon. So the Lord is saying, when you pray, so if we have a communication with God, or if we want to get closer to God, then there is an expectation for us to pray. When you pray, I'm not saying when you do it or when you got to do it, but when you do it, this is how you're going to do it. You see? So when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. So he's saying, well, if you're going to get a genuine conversation with God, and you really want to have communication, he's saying, well, don't be like the hypocrites, because when they pray, they're in the street and everybody can see them. That's not a real conversation you're going to have with God. Now, it's not to say that I can't pray for someone asking for prayer in public. It's not saying that. But he's saying, when you pray and when you want to get into a solid, grounded relationship with God, find a corner where you can do it yourself. You see? Because think about this. When you want to have a conversation or an important conversation with someone, you'll say, hey, step over here. Or if you have a mobile phone and someone calls you and you're in the midst of some people, you say, excuse me, this is an important call. I got to go somewhere, right? So that's the same thing with God. He's saying, the Lord is saying, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that stand in the synagogues on the street corner so they may be seen by men. Look what he says. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Because they're praying in the streets and want to be seen by men, okay, their reward is, I want to be seen. I want people. I'm spiritual because I'm praying in public. So the Lord is saying, well, they have their reward. You see? They have their prayer answered, because since you want to be seen by everybody and you want people to look at you as more spiritual because you're praying in the streets like this, you got your reward. You don't want God to hear your prayer. You're not really asking God to hear what you have to say and get your prayers answered for him, because the motivation of why they were going out there was because to be seen by men. You see, it says, don't be like the hypocrites so that they may be seen by men. That was their motivation with this particular prayer, how they were doing. You see? Or people, he says, that say the same thing over and over. In the previous verse, he says, but when you pray, again, he says, but when you pray, he's expecting us to pray. So the Lord is saying twice in verse 5, when you pray. And he says in verse 6, when you pray. So the expectation is that the Lord is expecting you to pray. All right? He's expecting us to pray. So now he says, but when you pray, go into your inner room. Now, he's not telling us when we need to pray, but let me just give you a blueprint here. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 5. Go to Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Let's start at verse 1. Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Let's start at verse 1. So remember, when he says, don't pray in public and be like the hypocrites, he's not saying you can't pray for somebody in public. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, if your motivation is to be seen by men so that men can count you more spiritual than anybody else, then he's saying, well, you're going to get your reward. You had your prayer answered. People saw you, and that's that. Now, remember, he says, but when you pray. So we want to divide a timeline. Psalm is found in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 5, verse 1. Look at verse 1. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning." I'm reading from the New American Standard. "Heed the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray." So we're directing our prayers to our Father, the Most High, who can answer our prayer. All right? He says, "For to you I turn my prayer to." And look what it says. "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice." So remember, the Lord says, when you pray, he's not saying what time you need to do it, but here's a blueprint here. The writer says, well, in the morning, I'm going to communicate with you. And this is me personally. I like to pray in the morning because sometimes we get so overwhelmed in the day, and at night we get kind of sleepy. We may not remember. So I definitely like to wake up, wash up, whatever it is, and then pray and communicate with the Father. Okay, so, and more importantly, when we realize, well, the Father has a purpose on my life, I should communicate with him to know the plan for the day. Because remember, we're at a war, and we have an enemy that wants to trip us up. We have an enemy that wants to see us fail. So the most important thing is I need to communicate with the Father so I have a game plan as to how to go about this particular day. You see? So not only am I communicating with the Father or God to understand the purpose for the day, but that's more importantly dealing with the issues that I'm having in my life. Telling the Father, hey, Father, this is something that happened to me the other day. I'm having an issue getting this resolved. Not even that. I'm praying for other people. You see? So I'm putting my petitions before the Father. And more importantly, I'm thanking him for waking me up this morning. So it's not when you pray. It's no specific time. But the Lord is saying when you do pray. And here's a blueprint as we can look to the psalmist. He says, well, in the morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to make that a priority in praying. So, and remember, he says, give ear to my words and consider my groaning, or consider my meditation. So I always encourage people in the morning, you wake up after you do what you have to do, wash up, whatever it is. Hey, spend a few minutes with the Father by reading the word and praying. By reading the word and praying. And again, it says in verse 3, in the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. You see? So that means if I'm praying to God, then there's an expectation that I'm believing he's hearing my prayer, number one, and that he will what answer my prayer. You see? My prayer is not directed like the hypocrites because they're doing it so men can see, but my prayer is directed to God so he can answer my prayer. And as I'm praying to him, there's an expectation that he's going to respond to my prayer. You see? In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. I'm looking over my prayer so that the Father can answer my prayer. Okay? If he's my Father, then we ought to have communication. Then there should be some kind of communication. Remember, prayer is communicating with God. And remember some time ago we said we have to have the Holy Spirit and discern God's voice. And I say the way we do that is we spend more time with God. And that's in the word and through prayer. That's how we grow up in prayer. That's how we grow up spiritually. That's how we learn more about the Father. And we can discern his voice. All right? Yeah, rightfully so. But prayer is very important because, remember, prayer is communicating with God. And we just read when Jesus got through praying, the disciples saw him say, well, Lord, teach us to pray. So if the Lord himself was praying, we need to understand, we need to do this too, because Jesus, who is our what? Savior and mentor, and remember, the Father say, this is my son in whom I'm well. Please listen to him. Then I need to direct all my attention to what he did and how he did it. If the Father said, this is my beloved son. You know, obviously, Paul was saying we can't pray 24 hours, 7 days a week. But he's saying when you pray without ceasing, you're not giving up on prayer. Because I think you said the other day, the Lord said men should always pray and not lose heart. I'm praying and it is my prayer. Then that doesn't mean I should give up. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm praying with the belief and hope that no matter what, the Father is going to answer my prayer because I believe he heard my prayer. All right? I believe he heard my prayer. Does that answer your question a little bit? And this is the important thing, that relationship. The Father, listen, God knows us. If he says, if the Lord himself says, he knows the very head on your head, even if you ain't got no hair, He knows everything about it, right? So he knows the very hell. He just knows the intimate things about us. We, on the other hand, may not know the Father or God like we ought to because of some improper presentations or things we may have seen. And we may say, well, man, if God like that, I don't want to deal with that. But no, God is saying, get to know me personally. And remember, we discussed the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that means when I come to an understanding of who God is, understanding his love, remember, I got to accept that love. Because the demonstration of love was what? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That was a demonstration of love. So number one, not only do I need to identify that as love, but I need to what? Accept that love. And accepting that love means I accept Jesus, Yeshua, as my Savior. Yes. Bring up a good point that I didn't want to miss it while he was talking. Remember, we're collectively a body is what the Bible describes us. So the importance of each and every one of us getting to know the Lord or the Father, our Father God, through his son Jesus, Yeshua, it's important because our obedience and our relationship to God is connected. Remember? So he says, hey, the prayer didn't come out right away. Well, God is going to use people. And guess what? If I'm not in the Word or if I'm not mature in my relationship and I'm not in position, I may be holding up the prayer to have everything come together. You see? So that's why it's important that we know who we are. We work on our relationship with the Father. So whatever he tells us to do, we can discern his voice and be obedient. And guess what? As I'm obedient, that little simple thing of obedience connected with someone else or connected to you for that prayer getting answered. You see what I'm saying? Just by me walking over here, doing something, see somebody. See? So it's important that we work on our relationship with the Father so we are in position. So as each and one of us are praying, hey, the prayers are connected because it's going to help everybody. You see, example, the Israelites was praying to God for deliverance out of Egypt. Because Moses was in position, he was able to help a whole lot of people, you see? So this is why I stress you have to get to know God for yourself personally and that you're at a place with God personally so that you know, hey, well, God is talking to me. Because, you know, people are going to come up to you, maybe not sent by God, and say, well, the Lord told me this about you. And you'd be like, well, no, that's not what I'm hearing. You see what I'm saying? Because if you know your place in God for yourself, no one can deceive you or mislead you. You see? So this is the importance with prayer. Now, we said, the writer says, in the morning. Again, it's always favorable to wake up and just give God thanks. But I want to give you another example with Daniel. When we look at Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel was someone who was sent into Babylon because the nation of Jerusalem was sent into exile because they were disobedient. So when you go to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, it's in the latter parts after Ezekiel, right? You have Jeremiah, you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel. Yeah, go to Daniel chapter 6:10. Yeah, that's the page since we all have the same Bible, 614. Now, let me explain. Daniel was someone who was seeing visions. He obviously had this book he wrote, and God was using him. And again, here's an example of obedience. God was using this man to write down prophecies that would happen in the future. And why was God able to do that? Daniel was a praying man. Look what it says. A decree came from the king, and this is the Achaemenid dynasty. That was the dynasty or the nation that defeated the Babylonians. So you go to Daniel chapter 6, and I said verse 10, right? It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, this was a decree that no one should pray. He entered his house, now in his roof chamber. He had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees, what to say, three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God. Do you see that? Now, I'm not going to tell you. I pray three times a day. I definitely pray in the morning, and I do it in the evening. But Daniel was praying three times a day. And I think, ideally, we should strive to that because this was reflective of, during the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. It was a morning sacrifice, an afternoon sacrifice, and an evening sacrifice. So I believe that's why he was praying that many times. But you saw what it did. The Lord says, when you pray, close the door. Look what Daniel did. Daniel went inside his room. It says, now, he entered his house in his roof chamber, and he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued praying. So Daniel went in his room. Why did he go in his room? Because he was directing his prayer towards the Father, towards God. His expectation was, I want God to hear my prayer. So this is a conversation that's a real conversation. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want no problems. So let me go someplace where I can have some private time. You see? Let me go somewhere I can have some private time. Same thing. When we want to talk to somebody and it's a serious issue, we go into a private place. There you go right there. You see? Right? We get this phone call. If it's an important phone call, excuse me one second, I got to take this call. Right? We're in a room full of people. This is someone I need to talk to. Let me take this call. You're moving away. Because, hey, I don't want you distracted, number one, and I don't want you hearing my conversation. I don't want you hearing what I want to talk about with God. Because this is between me and him, and guess what? I'm going to share some personal things with God. I don't want you to hear. And at the end of the day, I want God to hear it, because only God can answer my prayer. You can't help me with this. See? So this is the important gist. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can have a little silent prayer. You know, in football, they always got the thing covering their talking. You can do something like that. So it's not saying, God, you can't pray some places. But, yeah, of course you can pray any way you like. But the motive is, well, my prayer isn't, I'm not praying for people to think I'm all spiritual. You see what I'm saying? That they think, oh, well, this guy's all that. And they say, no, I'm praying because, hey, it's an issue here, and I want to talk to God about this right away. Because guess what? We'll pick up phone or whatever, and we'll call anybody in any random moment. You see? So we can communicate with God at any random moment. But the most important thing, we see Daniel prayed 3 times. We should all strive to that if we can, right? But sometimes life is so. But the important thing is, Daniel had that relationship with God, and he didn't let nothing hinder that prayer time. Because a decree came and said, hey, you can't pray, Daniel. You pray, you're in trouble. But Daniel said, no, I have good communication with the Father. I'm going to continue to pray. And as a result, listen, Daniel was hearing from God. When you look at some of the things he was seeing, he didn't understand some of the visions. But what happened? He prayed about the matter, and the angel said, hey, Daniel, your prayer was heard immediately, but I was held up because I couldn't get to you to answer the prayer. So we know that God hears the prayer. God always hears the prayer, yes. It can be. Yeah, every time we're communicating, but we're not calling his name in vain. I know what you're saying. Because they don't take his name in vain. But when we're praying, Father, I just thank you and I appreciate you. That's a prayer. That's encouragement. That's communication with God. And when we see the prayer life Daniel had and the relationship Daniel had with the Father, the Bible says, oh, man of God, you're beloved by the Father, you see? Because why? Daniel took it upon himself to mature his relationship with God. Remember, nobody else can work on that but you. Can't nobody make you read the Bible? Can't nobody make you pray? You're supposed to be motivated to do that in love. Remember, Jesus, Yeshua says, hey, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. So how you demonstrate that love and for you to mature that love, it's on you. So remember, Jesus isn't saying, you better pray. He ain't saying that. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say, number one. But he's saying, when you pray. All right? So there's an expectation of when you pray, I'm expecting you to do it. Hey, Gary, when you go outside there, bring me some water. He's got to go outside of this door. So the Lord is saying, you gonna have to pray if you want to continue communicating with me. So we have that. Now let's go back to Matthew and look at this prayer. When you pray, yes. That's not if. Now see, look at the difference between John chapter 14, 15. You don't need to go there. Go to Matthew 6. But in John 14, 15, the Lord says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. So see, he says, well, now, if you really say you love me, this is going to be a demonstration of love. Now, he's obviously saying, well, since you have this place where you love me and we have this understanding, well, if you love me, I'm expecting you to pray. You see? Exactly. That's not a good relationship. So prayer is communicating with the Father. He's expecting us to have that communication. So if you love me, this is what you'll do. Now, if you understand that love and we're working on that love relationship, well, when you pray. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray now. Because we've graduated and understand the love. You've accepted the love. Now, when are we going to talk? You see? Let's talk. So now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going down this model prayer. And you see in 6 it says, but you, talking to you, means your prayer is between you and God. But you, between you and God. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What did Daniel do? Daniel left, went inside the room, inside his chamber, and began to pray. Because Daniel had some things he wanted to talk about with the Father that, hey, this is some heavy stuff we're going to deal with. You may be telling, and guess what? You may have done somebody wrong. You say, I just only need God to hear this. Because if man hear this, man, they'll start judging me or looking at me differently. So I need to deal, I need for God to deal with this, change my heart, and then forgive me so I can be different. Because, you know, sometimes man won't let you forget things. Man always try to remind you of some things, you see. Man always try to discourage you. But this is why it's important. When you have a relationship with God the Father, and you come to that place where you're confident in him, and you've accepted his love, and you've accepted his forgiveness, man, nothing what man says about you will hurt you or harm you, or you won't even regard that. The psalm says, the Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? You see? So when you have that connection with God and you're at a place where I understand that love, I've accepted that love, I'm not going to be disgruntled by what people say about me. Because guess what? They're going to keep talking about you. You can't let that worry you. Because even the Lord himself says, boy, they call me the prince of devils. And this was God in the flesh. And he was talking about him. He didn't lose a drop of sleep. You see, maybe he was on that boat. The boat was rocking. Water was coming in there. He still was sleeping. He said, man, Lord, we about to die. You sleeping. He had peace with God. You see? When you have that peace and you know where you are in God, no one will be able to shake your relationship. And no one will be able to give words to you that should discourage you. Because why? Well, if they're talking bad about me, I'm going to pray to the Father about them to make sure what they're saying isn't, you know, true about me. And when I have that confidence in the Father, I'm not going to let those things disgruntle me. Yes. God knows what's going on. Then the Lord say, your Father who sees in secret. You see, your Father who is in secret, Daddy see everything. It ain't like he ain't see that. Because guess what? If somebody wrong you, you'll be quick to say, God going to deal with you. You expect God to see that wrong. So when you do wrong, God sees it. It's very important. You have to be honest with God. Because who else can you be honest with if you can't be honest with God? Sometimes we can deceive ourselves. But the reality is we just got, yeah, we'll deceive ourselves. And we have to be, you know, sometimes we see people wear things they shouldn't wear and they deceive themselves to think that looks good on me. Right? So we can be real with God. And we have to be very honest because the more or the quicker we're honest with God, the quicker he can help our situation. Because if we're still playing around with God, God will say, you joking. You ain't serious. You ain't serious. No, you're not serious. There's a situation when Joshua, he was the leader that succeeded Moses. And remember, Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They went to a certain battle and they lost. And this man named Achan took some secret things he wasn't supposed to take. And he thought nobody saw it. So Joshua was praying. God, why do people beat us up? God said, Joshua, don't play at me. You know Achan took that. You know Achan took those things. And until he get that right by me, I can't deal with y'all. And so Joshua, Achan, come here, man. What you doing? He learned it through prayer. So we have to be honest with God because God knows the issue. And when we're honest and you say, Lord, listen, we can even say, Lord, listen, I have an issue. I'm doing this. I feel good doing it, but it's not pleasing to you. Yeah. You can say, Lord, this is not pleasing to you. And I love you and I'm working on this love relationship. Please take this appetite away from me. Yeah. Be honest with God. Lord, I like doing this. This is not your will. I know this is not the best for me. Help me to stop doing this. Or I'm deceiving and thinking this thing that I'm doing is in my best interest. But your word is telling me otherwise. I know I shouldn't do it. Help me deal with this here. And God will do it. We was doing a street outreach, and the brother gave his testimony. The brother said, man, I was on crack, and he was crying out to God. He says, I was going to the crack house, taking the crack. I couldn't get high no more. That's what the man said. He says, God took that thing away from me because I was crying out, Lord, I know I shouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. So he still was taking the drug, and he couldn't get the effects of the drug no more. Got to deal with that. You just got to be real with God. You see? To be real with God. And once genuinely real with God, got to say, this one is real. I need to help. I need to send some help over here to help him out. Okay? Because remember, the Lord is the conqueror of all things. And he was, the Bible says, he was tempted in every area. So the Lord Jesus knows that the temptations you're going through, even the Lord himself who prayed to the Father, say, Lord, listen, if at all possible that I don't need to go through this sacrifice and dying for man, if that's possible, let's make that happen. But his prayer was, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Now, the scriptures dictate he had to die for the sins of the world, but he was praying to God, I don't want to do this. But he said, Lord, let your will be done. So see, even the Lord himself understood his purpose, understood the scriptures. He still was praying and talking to God about it, and he was very honest. So I encourage you today, hey, be honest with God. If you're doing something you know you're supposed to, Lord, I know this isn't right. I'm doing it. I don't want to do it. Please help me. Lord, I'm doing something. I just feel attracted or a certain way. I can't pull away from it. Be real with God, because God will certainly start dealing with those things in prayer, because God says you're being genuine. You're being real, and you know this isn't fruitful to you, and you know this isn't beneficial to our relationship. And guess what? When you love God and God loves you, he's not going to let anything disrupt that love. The writer writes, and Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. You see? So God loves us so much, he died. He sent his son to die for you and me. So if he sent his son to die for us, you think he wouldn't do, what else wouldn't he do for us if he put his own life on the line for us? So anything else after that is a light matter. You see, anything beyond that is a light matter because he died for our sins. Now, let's continue. It says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition in verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You see that? So here it is. We can't get real with God, but he knows what we need before we ask. You see? This is why it's important. Let's be real with God. He says, your daddy knows what you need before you ask. So be real with God. So there's a mutual understanding. Remember, the brothers say, well, two or three are gathered. If God knows what you need, and he knows the issue you're dealing with, agree with God. Well, Lord, listen, you know what time it is, man. I'm dealing with this thing. I just can't pull away from it. I'm doing some things with this person. I shouldn't be doing it with him. You see? Be real with God. God knows what you need. You know what you need help in that area? You need deliverance from that thing. That's what it is. Let me help you out in this particular area so you can get to that place where you're solid in a great relationship with me, at a great place. Because at the end of the day, when you're troubled by something, and believe you me, when you pray properly and you give it to God, you come up a little lighter. You will. Because Jesus said, please give me your burdens and take my yoke. My yoke is easy. So see, when we give him the burden and after we get through praying, I'm telling you, you should be like, I feel a little lighter, because you're giving it to God. You see, there are times when things have been troubling me, and when I get up from prayer, I'm like, man, I feel a little lighter, because that means I've really turned that thing over to God. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to believe God has this thing, and he's going to start working it out for me. Now, remember, in the process of the Father dealing with our prayer, guess what? We're going to be cooperating in that, you see? We can't say, hey, Lord, do everything. For example, even an example. If we're studying for a test, we can't just say, God, help me pass the test. What's your part you're going to play in that? You got to study for the test, right? You got to read the books. So you got to actively participate in God answering your prayer. Well, Lord, help me find a job. And you can't just sit down all day and not go look for one. You got to actively participate in it, right? Believe me, if you're praying, God will order my steps to do whatever it is I need to do to pass the test. You see? There was a test I had to pass years ago. I failed this test repeatedly. And I just say, Lord, I need help passing this. I need help passing this. I need help. And I just kept meditating on scripture, meditating on scripture. And the last time I took the test, I said, Lord, man, you know, I've studied. I've done. I've failed it twice. I said, Lord, I studied and I've done my part. And I kid you not, I finally passed the test. But I had to do what I had to do. I had to study. I had to remain encouraged. And I had to keep reminding myself, hey, God is able to do this thing. You see? So now, let's continue. We're looking at verse 9. Now, here's a heavy verse. Look at what the Lord is saying. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see that? He's saying pray. That's the place you need to come to and understand and realize the God of the universe and creator, he's daddy to you. See that? He's saying pray our Father, my daddy. You see? Understand the creator of the universe is your daddy. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he came to the Lord, and he says, Lord, how you do these things, these miraculous things that you do? And the Lord says, you must be born again. You must be born through the water and the spirit. So number one, we got to come to a place where we're born again, and that means have you accepted the Lord as your Savior, and have you been baptized? So see, when you've been born again and baptized, that means I'm a child of the King. I'm a new person. I'm a kingdom participant. I'm royalty. Remember we said your royalty and a certain royalty, there's a certain aroma or decorum that's upon royalty. Know your position and place. So that means if I'm born again and I'm royalty, the God of the universe is my daddy. And if he's my daddy, I must realize that he's going to answer my prayer. He has my best interest at heart because this is my Father. So the Lord is saying, understand that God is your Father. Let's take a look at John chapter 20. Let's take a look at John chapter 20. Let's echo this point. John chapter 20. Are there any questions so far? John chapter 20. Remember, prayer is important. God wants you praying. God wants you talking to him. God wants you talking to him. Right. And hope can't be overtaken, because as long as we have hope, we're believing God is going to work on our behalf in the situation. And the most important thing is that we're believing God, and the more we're being attentive to God and assertive to God, the more we can discern his voice and seize the opportunities that are coming our way. Because sometimes we'll pray and we forget our prayer, not knowing, man, God has put some things in place to answer the prayer. You know what I'm saying? And we'll miss, like, man, that was it right there. You see? I remember a situation vividly that was just a sign of answer prayer. I may have said it before. I was in Atlanta, and I was going to some kind of whatever it was, I think a conference something. And I didn't know anybody in Atlanta at this time. This was a few years ago. And it was nighttime, and I missed my connection, but I went to the event. And someone said, well, hey, did you get in contact with this person? I said, no, I didn't catch him. And I'm like praying, Lord, I really do need to find a place to stay because, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't know what the area. And I never forget, the Lord said, hey, go get something to eat. I'm like, man. So I went and got something to eat, and I had a phone. And the moment I got back to my seat, I lost the phone. This was not my phone, and I'm telling you, the person I got this phone from, I wouldn't have heard the end of it. I said, Lord, I need help. I need to find this phone. So I went and told a person who was on the mic, I said, hey, announce if someone finds a phone to turn it in. So I went and sat down, didn't worry about it any further, and I kid you not, I heard the Lord say, get up and go. I'm going to the door, and I see the guy giving this guy my phone. I say, that's my phone. And I'm talking to him. He said, yeah, man, look through the phone. I see you from Miami. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I need a place to stay. Well, yeah, you could stay to this hotel. It's very cheap. And when you're in the morning, come down and hang out with us. So you see, God answered the prayer. I had to lose the phone for the prayer to get answered. You see what I'm saying? So this is why I say, when things are happening in your life, the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Sometimes we'll start cursing in a situation or getting mad. God, man, God never looks out for me. But you don't know if God is using that to answer the prayer. You see what I'm saying? Because I had to lose my phone for the prayer to get answered. So I'm saying when we're praying, remember the writer says, I'm eagerly waiting to see if this prayer is going to be answered. You see? So when we pray, let's expect God to answer it, and let's be vigilant to discern, is this an opportunity that God is using to answer this prayer? You see, because God will move in any kind of way he wants to, in a way that's not way outside the word. He's going to move within the parameters of the word. This is why we have to be openly understanding and not so dogmatic with things, because God will use anybody or anything to bless you to answer that prayer. All right. So now I said John chapter 20, verse 17. John chapter 20, verse 17. This is after Jesus was resurrected, and look what happens. He's talking he says, he's talking to Mary. She sees him. And he says, Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But look what he says. Go tell the brothers and say to them, I ascend to who? My Father, my daddy, and your Father, your daddy, and my God, and your God. You see, it's because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we can call his daddy, daddy. When you be praying, understand who you are, child of the Most High, and you're a child of the King of the universe. So that means you're royalty. Know who you are. You're royalty. Remember, Peter writes, you're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a people unto God. So understand, if the creator of the universe is my Father, then he can answer my prayer. You're royalty. And with royalty, there's a certain decorum or a certain behavior that's expected with royalty. And remember, the more you get closer to the Father, you may start doing things you shouldn't be doing. You may stop hanging around people you shouldn't hang around. Not saying that you're thinking, yeah, y'all ain't good enough to hang with. But no, God is taking you to a place where he's maturing you, and maybe some of those habits are not good for that relationship. So God will pull you out of those things, you see? So I'm understanding I'm a child of the King. I'm royalty. And remember, there's a certain behavior required as you mature in your faith. I'm using the King, these people over there in Britain. If one of those guys, the sons, does something, it's like a scandal. Like if Harry does something or whatever, that's a scandal. You know what I'm saying? So as a believer and people, when you do something that's not like godly behavior, don't just say, hey, I thought you was a Christian. Huh? I thought you believed in God. It's like a scandal. Why? Because you're royalty. You're royalty. There's an understanding that, well, if you are connected to the creator of the universe, I'm expecting you to act a certain kind of way. You're an ambassador. And listen, I'm not saying that, hey, when we mess up, God won't forgive us. I'm saying that other people who are looking towards that light are saying, hey, be an example to me. Because guess what? We all need the blood of Jesus Christ. And we all miss the mark. The Bible says everyone has fallen short. But I'm saying as believers, as we mature in our faith, people are watching us. So be mindful of the behavior. Because when something goes down there, it's like a scandal. Oh, I thought you was this kind of way. I thought, well, now I made a mistake. But guess what? Jesus is perfect. That's who I'm directing you to. And let me direct you to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask forgiveness and I'm going to walk my walk again. You see? But I'm just saying, remember, you're royalty. God has chosen you and favored you so you can go back and encourage them. You see? Just like Prince or those other guys, royalty, something happens, it's a scandal. Well, that's how people may look at it with you. So to remember, the creator of the universe, that's your daddy. Understand that you've been born again. You've accepted Christ as your savior. You've been baptized. So that means you've been born into royalty. This is why the Lord says in John chapter 3, you can't enter or see it unless you're born again of the water and of the spirit. And once you're born again of the water and the spirit, you're a new creature. You've literally been born into royalty. Remember what I told you? We can't go over there in England and say, I'm related to the royal family. No, you got to be born into this here. You got to have royal blood in you. So now you're a child of the King because you've been born again. You see? And now you can say, I'm born again. I'm related to the Son of God. Yes, you're related to Jesus. You're related to Yeshua by that new birth, by the power in his blood. That's your bloodline now, you see? You remember that I'm royalty, I'm related. That's why the Lord is not only our Savior, he's our mentor, he's our eldest brother, and then he's our King and Savior, you see? So that's why if he's our mentor, we're looking to him to live a life that's favorable to God. And that means I'm going to read that word and get into the word. Because Jesus himself says, hey, I'm going to daddy. That's your daddy too. That's your father. You know, people say, hey, pray for me. Yeah, I pray for him. But you can talk to your daddy if that's your daddy. You can talk to your daddy yourself. You see? And that's what the Lord says, listen, when y'all come into that royal birth and you've been born again, he tell the disciples, I'm not going to talk to the Father for you. You can talk to the Father for yourself. It's in John. He says, I'm not going to talk to daddy for you. I'm going to be right there next to him. You can talk to him for yourself. Why? Because that's your father too. You can work on that relationship for yourself. You don't need me to go between. I've already made it right by the sacrifice and paying the price for the sin. So you can talk to the Father directly to yourself. You don't need to go to no man or anybody. Hey, help me pray. Forgive me my sins. You don't need to go to man for that. You can talk to the Father yourself, because if Jesus, Yeshua said himself, I'm not going to talk to God for you. Go talk to him for yourself. What you scared of? You know, you say, hey, bro, talk to this person. See if we all right. Straighten out for me. And that person, man, I already told you, the man ain't got no problem with you. Go talk to him for yourself. That's what the Lord is saying. He's basically saying he wants you to forgive sins. And if there's some things that you're not going to, when you're connected to God and there's some things you're going to hold, because some people just continuously do malicious things. And he says, you know what? You're to a place where no matter what happens, you're going to continue to walk in rebellion. Because the Bible says in Daniel, the angel tells Daniel, those who are righteous are going to be righteous, and those who are ungodly are going to continue in ungodliness. So God is saying, if you care not to be bothered with them, I'm going to hold it against you. If you forgive, hey, we're going to forgive as well. Because he says, we'll be bound in heaven. So that's basically what it means. People will deliberately walk contrary to you, and God is saying, I won't hold you responsible when you just stop saying, I'm not going to deal with this person anymore because they're disruptive to my relationship with the Father. Got it? Does that work? No. Remember, God forgives. But if there's a willful desire to reject God, God got to deal with sin because he's righteous. There's an enemy of God called Satan. Jesus says he's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. As a result, God has to deal with that sin because he's going to use people. The enemy is going to use people to hurt you. So someone comes in this building, bloop, 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 hurts everyone in this building and says, huh, I feel no remorse. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. God can't forgive that behavior because he would be unjust that someone did something to all his children. And he's not going to deal with that person. No, remember, we're favored by God. And if we're favored by God, we're expecting God, man, are you going to deal with those people who hurt me? That's what he's saying. So if we're saying, well, God is going to continue to forgive someone who's going to continuously, willfully reject the Son. You see? Because remember, sin put Jesus on the cross. And these men had no desire to change, even though they had plenty of opportunities. So if these men killed his only son, God said, I'm going to deal with that. And I'm giving you an opportunity to accept my mercy and grace, because when he comes back, he's dealing with sin, and he has to deal with sin because he's righteous. Yes. And this is exactly right. Let me go to the scripture, and I think it'll make it clear. Because in Philippians chapter 2, go to Philippians chapter 2. Because Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done. The will of God is his kingdom. How heaven operates is to come down on earth. God doesn't want sin. I mean, here it is. We're saying, remember, Satan is the one that has disrupted this perfect creation. It's why people get sick. It's why people have addictions. Satan is the one behind that. And people are used by the enemy to do these things. So if God isn't going to deal with this, he would be unjust, as a matter of fact. This is why when people commit a crime, God can forgive them if their heart is changed. But if their heart isn't changed, God has to deal with that. So, for example, if we commit a sin, we still have to deal with the repercussions of that decision we made. We still got to deal with the circumstances, you see? So it doesn't exempt us from dealing with the consequences. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Someone read that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. While I find it, because I gotta let you go in a few minutes, and I want to hit this point. Yeah, that's fine. You see that? The mindset. The Lord prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Kingdom is a mindset. You see what I'm saying? How, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? To please the Father. That's the mind we got to have. You see what I'm saying? And if this is our mindset, it's an understanding, because I love God, that means I'm going to do what he says. Remember, God has got to deal with sin. And he says, well, if you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you're demonstrating you love me. And if you're not doing what I'm telling you to do, that means you hate me. So if you hate me, I'm not obligated to have you live with me, because God wants us to have eternal life. And if we're going to willfully say, I hate God, God isn't going to have us hanging out with him in heaven. You see what I'm saying? And he says, let that mindset be walked out on earth, because when you understand the kingdom mindset, it's a mentality that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Kingdom is a mindset. And I'm running out of time, but we'll see when we continue. The man asks Jesus, Lord, what's the biggest commandment? He say, love the Lord your God with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love the neighbor as yourself. And the man says, Lord, you're right. And he agrees, and he answers, and the Lord says, you're not far from the kingdom. See, the kingdom is a mindset, and when we understand the mindset, we can live it out in our life. You see? So, your kingdom come, your will be done. Remember, the Lord says, repent and believe. Repent means change the way you think. Believe in the gospel. Good news is the gospel. So, he's saying, change the way you think. Whatever you thought, religion worked, or habit worked, change that. Don't think about that. Get into the word for yourself so you can understand and receive the kingdom mindset and begin to live it out in your life. You got a question? Yeah, let me show you. Remember, if we don't accept Jesus as our Savior, we're children of disobedience. So Satan got to check in with God for that. We have a hedge of protection. That's what that is. That's the difference. We have that hedge of protection where God is saying, hey, don't touch this one or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But if we have not accepted the love of God, hey, we at the mercies. We literally are at the mercies. And we're on the prayers of someone else. Like Abraham prayed for his nephew Lot. Because Abraham had a connection with God, he had to pray for Lot. But Lot was at a place where he didn't understand that relationship, or he didn't mature it. You see? So we got to understand there's a difference. We are favored by God when we accept him and we are his children. You see, because the Lord says, no man can take my life, I lay it down. And that's because he says God has control of me. And the Bible says it wasn't his time. He came to redeem mankind. So the devil can't take nobody's life who belongs to God before they fulfill the purpose on their life. Yes. And I got to let you go. And remember what the Lord says, when you pray. You see what I'm saying? When you pray. When you pray. When you pray. So that's important. We all need to pray. So I got to let you go. Let me just say this prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, and I pray for continued understanding. And I'm praying that your spirit will encourage us to pray in the morning and whenever else you tell us to designate that time. Teach us to pray and let us continue to grow mature in your word. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His word says that he will bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming by, gentlemen. God willing, I'll see you next week.
Well, that's our teaching for today, and that's our teaching on prayer. Hopefully you received and understand the concept of prayer. Again, when I speak to people, they are sometimes real reluctant or hesitant to pray, and you should not be hesitant to pray when you understand the relationship the Father wants you to have, or when you understand the access you have to the Father through his only begotten Son. And I like to call Yeshua, Jesus, not just our Savior, but he's our big brother and mentor. The reason why I call him my mentor is because the Father spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, I'm well pleased with him. So that means if we want to be looked at favorably, like the Father looked upon the Son, we should look to the Son and follow the way he lived his life and script our lives and model our lives in that same vein and capacity. Friends, please, I want to encourage you to pray, because prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is a good thing. And if you're beginning your walk with the Lord, don't be so afraid to pray. Pray. And if you have not accepted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is invite him into your heart and just a prayer like, Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe your Son died for me, and I renounce sin, and I want to commit my life to you. It doesn't have to be like that, but it certainly have to be in a format where you believe the Son of God, you accept the Son of God, and you live your life according to his teachings. Friends, I want to encourage you to do that. If you would like a copy of this particular teaching by DVD or CD, just write to us. Please, you can download these podcasts on the webpage of Breaking Bread, and you can certainly look at them on the channel. So let me just bless you in the name of the Lord. And it simply goes, Yevrekeka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ye'er Adonai panavaleka v'huneka, Yesa Adonai panavaleka v'yashimleka shalom. And that simply means, may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord shine his countenance upon you, that the name of the Lord is upon you. His word says that he will bless you. Shalom, friends. For correspondence to this ministry, you may write P.O. Box 472515, Miami, Florida, 33247. That's the G2G Foundation, P.O. Box 472515, Miami, Florida, 33247. Or you may log on to the website, www.theg2gfoundation.org. That's www.theg2gfoundation.org.